That's right. And approved means acceptable. That's what it means if you look that word up. And so in 2 Peter chapter 1, I hope I said 2 Peter, but 2 Peter chapter 1, Paul is writing and he just shares some things here as he opens his letter. In verse 3, he begins, he says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So he's telling us that all of this is given, this that pertain unto life and godliness, is by the knowledge of him. It's knowing who he is. And that, so really it's talking again about 2 Timothy 2:15, studying to show ourselves approved, right? To know of him. He goes on, says, verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, you hold those in your hand today, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And besides this, so he talks about salvation, and then he says, besides salvation, giving all diligence. And that word diligence means speed. It's the same word as study in 2 Timothy 2:15, okay? "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." In verse 7 it says, "And to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he's teaching us some things that are going to help us, and through the study of the Word of God, we'll be able to apply those in our lives as we learn and grow. In verse 9, he says, "But he that lacketh these things," the things that he just shared with us, okay? If you lack those things, you're not studying, you're not really looking in the Word of God. He says, the chances can happen that it says you're going to be blind, okay? Maybe blind to salvation, maybe blind to what God wants you to do. You'll be blind to those things and cannot see afar off. You can't see maybe what God's trying to direct you to do, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Again, the fact that I believe this is talking, he's talking to saved people here, that you can come to a point in your life because you're not discipling or coming to church or even in the Word of God, that you're not sure, and you might forget that you're saved. A lot of people today have to get saved over and over and over again. Can they get saved over and over and over again? No. You only get saved once. Now, when do we know that occurs? I don't know from that person's perspective, because I don't know his heart toward God. But I think a lot of times people have the struggle because they don't know the Word of God. And they haven't proved the Word of God in their lives. And that's what he's talking about. But then look at verse 10. He says, "Wherefore," so he's talking about, instead of verse 9, he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give speed," or diligence, "to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall" what? Never fail. That's what it says. And so again, that's what we're trying to do, is we're learning how to study the Bible, use some tools that will help us to study the Bible so we can get deeper in the Word of God. That's where we want to be, as deep as we can get. Why? Because that's where we're going to find the fruit. Okay? And that's what we want, is fruit in our lives from God. And He will reveal those things to us as we study and continue to grow in that. So as we're working on this, we're talking about right now reference or study Bibles. We've talked about a couple. What are some things that are tools that are going to help us? Henry? Concordance. Concordance, that's right. Somebody else know one? I'm trying to figure out how to turn this thing on. Somebody else know one? You probably know all of them, don't you? Commentaries, absolutely. Anybody else? Dictionary, good one. What else? Maps are good, okay? Yep, maps will help us. They'll help us to know what's going on and where it's going on, right? What are some of what's the other two that he mentions? Maps are important. Treasury of Scripture knowledge. And anybody think of another one that might help? I think two. Did I mention the first one? Probably did. Ah, boy, I've lost my mind. Yes, Henry said that. Thank you, Henry. Henry said that. And we heard reference Bibles, right? Okay, good. Reference Bible. And we didn't hear, or did we, encyclopedias? Okay, encyclopedias. So those are the tools that we can use to help us. Now, when we say commentaries, it's not just any commentary off the shelf. You need to know who's writing the commentaries and from their perspective, because if you get one that's not right on target, you'll be misled. Some of the commentaries I use, they don't necessarily use the right Bible, but that doesn't mean their commentary is completely off. It's like anything, you chew the meat and spit out the bones, okay? You have to be discerning. So someone who's a new Christian, I don't recommend things that use different Bible versions just because they're not ready for that. Because if they can be misled or misguided, I don't want them to be there. So I would recommend those that I know that use the right scriptures or whatever. And that's important. But you can glean things from other people. Dr. Childs, he used to say, there's nothing wrong with using dead man's brains. And that's true. When I look back, there are a whole lot smarter people than I am that have studied the Bible. And back in the day, when those folks studied the Bible, they didn't have phones and TVs and all this. They had time that they spent in the Word of God. And they didn't have a computer. They go to Strong's Concordance or Treasury of Scripture Knowledge or any of that. They dug it out in the books they had. And so it was a lot more labor back then to study the Bible. And these men and folks who did this, they were serious about it. So we have a lot of good tools that we can use to help us learn. So anyway, I think we left off on talking about reference Bibles. And this is the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I'm going to skip through here because I think we talked about all this. And I don't know, does anybody have a Thompson Chain in here? I think Adam was the only one. Excuse me. Greg, you got one? Okay. So you know the tools that it has. It does a lot of topical studies in it, which are really good. In fact, in your treasury or your scripture sword searcher, excuse me, you will have that in there. That's a tool that you'll have, the chain reference of the Thompson Bible, which is helpful when you're doing topical studies. And we'll get to all that eventually. So features. Let me just go through this real quick. It has an extensive cross-reference and marginal notes. Analysis of every book of the Bible, extensive topical studies, 8,000 it says. The Thompson topical studies are helpful, and the topic can be followed through the Bible with this system. So if you're, for instance, you want to learn about hell, or you want to learn about fruit, or you want to learn about heaven, or just any topic you can think of, this is a good resource to help you understand. And the way you would do that, obviously, is you go find every word that says hell in it, and you would look at other words too, Hades and a couple others that may be out there. And you go look up all those words and try to understand their usage in context and what they mean. And we'll look at the concordance in a little bit maybe if we get to that. But it'll help you because just because the word says hell in the Bible doesn't mean it's the same Hebrew or Greek word. Does everybody understand that? You know what I'm talking about? Shake your head like this if you kind of got it. So the word hell in the Bible, it's not the same word in the Greek or Hebrew everywhere you find it. It has different meanings. And so that's part of your study is to learn what those are and to understand what it's trying to teach us. So it has biographical studies, archaeological studies, and how they reflect on the Bible account. This is neat when you go through and you can find out different things about locations in the Bible and what took place there. You know, I've always heard this. I never had the opportunity, but folks who've went over to Israel come back and they say, man, the Bible is more real today than it ever was to me. Because they actually walked over there, those places, and saw some of those things. Obviously not in that time period, but they went through there and saw where Jesus walked and what took place there. So they had a real life view and understanding of that area. Whereas I'm looking at a map and reading about it. It's a little difference in actually being there and seeing it. So. But that's good. Harmony of the Gospels. That means you look at all the Gospels. The Gospels, what are the Synoptic Gospels, just for Bible students? What do you know? What are the Synoptic Gospels? Go ahead. That's right. You remember what that word means? That's right. Exactly. Those are the Synoptic. Why are they called a Synoptic? Because those three are closer related than John. John is one that's not as follows with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Often you'll see the things going on in those three Gospels that you won't see in John at all. Okay, we don't see Jesus like in the garden when he's talking about John chapter 14, John chapter 15. You don't see those things where he talks about the Holy Spirit's going to be given and that type of thing. It's just different. Does that make it wrong? No. Why is that not wrong? Because you're not ignorant like I was. And I thought, if you got one gospel, they all ought to say the same thing. It's because four different men used of God saw things from their perspective, and God used that, and they're writing those books. And remember the Comforter, Jesus said, when the Comforter shall come in John chapter 14, verse 26, he told us that he would bring all things to their remembrance. And that's exactly what he's did. The Word of God is superintended by God himself through the Holy Spirit. Bible Atlas, Elliot, this is what Elliot was talking about, Bible land studies. And so you can go through those and look at where these people walked and how they lived. Again, talking about studying the Bible, finding out really what was it like then when Jesus walked on this earth and these other people. A dictionary of the Old English, all of this is in the Thompson chain. And a helpful concordance, okay? And then, let's see, he has some negatives or problems. There is very little space to write your own notes in most editions. Of course, he's high on this. He thinks it's important that you be able to write in your Bible. Why? Because you'll get things that during a message or something like that, you might circle a word, you might mark a word, you might write down a definition. You might cross-reference that with another a verse in the Bible that maybe is not in your Bible as a cross-reference. A lot of good things you can jot down in your Bible and find out. Years ago, as I sat in pews, that's what I did. I wanted to find it. If he said something, and I looked at that, I said, hey, I'm going to write this down. I got messages in my Bible. I got a lot of things in there. Not this one, but the other one years ago. And why? Because just like he said, you can make your own study Bible. Make it yours. Okay? He says, very large and cumbersome to carry around. They're usually about so big. I guess they have smaller ones, but anyway, this is one of the problems, he says. The cross-references are linked to the topical system and are not as simple and straightforward as those in other reference Bibles. So instead of linking those to other verses and that type of thing, it's more topical. Okay. The Thompson Bible contains a misleading study on the history of the English Bible, falsely presenting modern versions as superior to old Protestant ones and failing to inform the reader of the corruption underlying Greek text. Okay, don't need to say much about that. The Thompson study on English versions also fails to inform the reader of the corruption of the paraphrases such as the Living Bible and today's English version. Everybody know, you ever read the Living Bible? Anybody ever read that? You have? Okay. Do you know what? That's just a paraphrase. Some father that wrote that for his children, basically. Yeah. So it's not a translation, okay? It's a father who just wrote that down. So, and I've never seen a TEV, okay? So I don't know what's in that. I was in a church one time and they were preaching out of it and I had my Bible and I couldn't follow it along. It was a little bit different, but I don't even know what I've never seen the TEV. Thompson had a wrong view of Bible prophecy and this is reflected in his studies. And then he gives some examples of chain reference views on the book of Revelation as its history rather than prophecy. Okay, let me share just a couple of those before we hit the Rye Bible. Oh, he didn't. Okay, I don't even have those in here, so I guess he just left it there. Okay, so the Rye Study Bible, I think he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't even mention this in his book now. I think it's mentioned, but he says it's no longer recommended by David Cloud because it has so many errors. In my copy, I got a paragraph about it, okay? In your copy, I don't think there's anything in it. I don't know if you remember or not. Huh? Okay, yeah, but it's not a paragraph. Talking about features and all that stuff. Okay, okay. Okay. All right. So let's go on to the next. Okay, the King James Study Bible. This is from Jerry Falwell. This is something that he put out. And I'll just give you the features of it. Anybody know who Jerry Falwell is? Okay, he was started Liberty University. Liberty University is not a conservative university at all. I don't think they stick to any particular translation now or anything. There's a lot of things that are kind of off on, but he's the guy who came out with the moral majority years ago in America. There's Christians, and that's talking politically or whatnot. But anyway, his son has it now, and he's running it or whatever. But so it's published by Jerry Falwell, Liberty University. Here's some features. Thank you. I don't know if I autocorrected or I just had a big thumb, but that's good. God cross references. I like it. Good. It's good cross references. Has a concordance. Color maps, again, harmony of the Gospels and parables of Christ. This is always helpful. I have a book when I was in college that I believe it was Dr. Carollo wrote, if I remember right. And every time I look in the New Testament and start doing a study, I want to get that out because it just kind of puts side by side what's going on, and it kind of lines everything up for you, so it makes it a lot clearer. Okay, and then archaeological research proving the accuracy of the Bible. Weights and measurements, this is always handy because you can look and say something weighs something if you know it. Like I think it is, what was Goliath's spear, I think weighed like 15 pounds or something like that. You can cross-reference that and kind of get an idea. It's always a good example when you're teaching a Sunday school class and you throw in or bring a 15-pound weight and tell the kids, this is what his spear weighed, go pick it up. And they can get a feel for really what how big this guy was. But anyway, biographies. And then introduction outline to each book. Explanatory notes written from a Baptist, non-Calvinist, dispensational pre-tribulation viewpoint. And that's what we are. We are premillennial, at least that's what I teach, that we're pre-trib and fundamental Bible-believing Baptist. There's a whole long spiel that you can throw out there. But that's kind of the way his Bible. So the problems with this are some critical test errors, text. I thought I corrected that, but anyway, text errors. Sorry. And he gives a note, and Daniel 3:25 says, like the Son of God, or a son of the gods, is what he puts in there. And of course, we know that the Son of God is not the same as like a son of the gods. Okay? And that comes from the critical text. And then Mark 16:9-20, ancient manuscripts contain two different endings for Mark. And let's see, does that bring us to Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible? Now, okay, this one's kind of worn. I don't use this anymore. This is not just the Strong's Concordance, though. This is Abdagun's. He has some special notes in here, but it has or contains Strong's Concordance, okay? And so, but this here, I think I had two other ones, two green ones. I might have given one away to somebody. I think I might have gave one away to somebody in here. But this is the way that we used to have to study. You go and look up a word. And say you got a word in the Bible, diligent, okay, or diligence. You go look that word up. Do I have a volunteer? We'll just do an example real quick. I want an adult volunteer. Hang in there. Just volunteer and you'll find out. Okay, come up here. Yeah. We'll just try this and see how it works. Okay, I'll move this plate. I want you to look up the word diligence. And let me explain that. In here, this is all the, this is the words. Okay, so you just have to look up here and you can see the first word and the last word on the page, just like a dictionary. So you find out where diligence is. And once you find diligence, see all these numbers? Those are Strong's Concordance numbers. So then you pick the number that you, for the verse. Once you look it up, I'll tell you what verse. And then you go all the way to the back, past all this stuff. This is some of the things he put in it. And you come to the Greek. See, Hebrews first.
Then you're going to find it back here.
That's right. So Hebrews first, and then the Greek's back here. So that number that we find, you're going to find it here. And then you're going to see the word, and you're going to tell us what it means and maybe how it's translated. Let's just try it, okay?
You're
diligence. I'm not going to do it right this second, so. I'm not trying to show you up or anything. Just trying to show you how cumbersome it is. Now, Matt, he probably still uses his, don't you? Pretty regular?
Yeah, you got the word.
Your concordance? No. You probably never did you? You probably always had a computer program. Okay. All right. Okay, good. Find the word in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Did you find it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what does it tell you to go to? See, these are the strong course number. What number is it?
4710.
Okay, so that's the number you look up in the Greek. All the way in the back, yeah. Yep. The Hebrews first, but go past it. Yeah, like me, I always forget the number and I have to go back and look. So, That's another problem with it. Yeah. Okay, so what does that, I don't know if you can pronounce the Greek word. It shows you a pronunciation of it. I'm not good at it.
Spoudē.
Okay, that's the way you pronounce it.
Okay.
Spoudē. And then what's it say here?
From.
Okay, that's another number that you would go look up and see what it means. It's a root. Okay. But then what does it mean right here?
Speed.
Speed. And then how is it used? It tells you right here. What's that word there?
It says. Dispatch, eagerness, earnestness, business, care, diligence, forwardness, haste.
So all the places in the Bible, if you look up that word, the Greek word, you're going to see those other words. Not just study, not just diligence, but those other words are there too. So you have to look at the context to find out and understand the meaning. That helps you. But the actual meaning of the word is speed, okay? And that's the way. So thank you, Brandy. Huh? Yeah. Okay. So let's just go ahead and go through this a little bit. We got 20 minutes left. So the author of this is James Strong. And again, this is not the Strong's Concordance in itself. This has some notes from this guy named Abdagon, okay? Just so you know. He was a conservative Methodist Bible scholar who was proficient in biblical Greek and Hebrew as well as some other ancient languages. Well, you have to be proficient in those languages to work on this. As a professor at two Bible colleges, he defended biblical inspiration against the onslaught of modernism that was beginning to sweep through the Methodist denominations of his day. And there's a lot of people that have already succumbed to that. They don't really believe that the Bible is inspired by God. Some believe it that it becomes the Word of God. We've all read the Bible and at times and found something pop off the page or God speak to us, not in an audible voice, obviously, but through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we see, wow! You know, it's one of those voila moments in your life. And you've read that verse many times. Well, some people, because it happened that one time, all of a sudden it became the Word of God. Well, it was always the Word of God. It's just at that particular time, God said, you need this, and I want to show you something today. As you read through the Bible over and over again, you're going to keep seeing things that you never saw, and you're going to be in awe because of it. The more you read it, the more you'll see throughout the studies of the Bible. And that's what God does. He wants to work in us. I mean, the Bible's literal. What it means is what it means, but it's also a lot of applications in there through the literal translation of the Bible. This guy spent 35 years compiling his concordance, which was first published in 1890. That's a long time to study and compile a concordance. This is David Cloud. He says, the Strong Exhaustive Concordance is the most important Bible study tool ever published. Anybody have any thoughts why that would be? Raise your hand if you can speak Hebrew or Greek. Okay! I knew we were talking to the wrong person. Out of the mouth of babes. Absolutely, Greg, that's right. Because we don't know those languages. And what this does is it will help us to go in the Bible and find a word and find out where it's used everywhere else in the Bible. And it will give us a clear understanding of what that word is and what it means in the context. And it will help us to discern God's will. God's given us the Bible, but He's also given us a lot of tools. And remember, you hold the Bible, and I believe, again, and this is the best English translation. It's not Greek and it's not Hebrew, because I read neither one of those. I studied Greek one semester. I passed it, and that was it. It about killed me to get through it. But so this is what the concordance will do for us. It'll help us to understand the better meanings of the Bible. This is one of the most important tools you can use. And if you got that Bible program, you will be amazed at how quickly and how easy that is to use to help you discern those things in the Bible. Okay. Not only is it exhaustive in its treatment of the words of the English Bible, in other words, just about every word is in the concordance in the Bible. That's a lot of words. Okay. One does not have to know the Greek and Hebrew alphabets to use Strong's Concordance. Thank you, Greg. Did you read my notes? The dictionary gives a concise definition, actually David Cloud's notes, of the Greek or Hebrew word, as well as a list of the ways that the word translates in the English Bible. And again, that helps us to understand what it means. Like, you take that word, and I always use this word because I say it so often, I think everybody's familiar with it, the word conversation. It doesn't mean, today if you were talking about it, it says, oh, your conversation, people would think, oh, it's what we're talking about, or our communication verbally. But it means your lifestyle in the Bible when you look up that word, and it's talking about everything you do. Your conversation is, and it's true today, even though we don't think of it that way, but the things you say, the things you do, all everything is your conversation. So the design of the Strong's Concordance. Brandon, can you tell me how it's designed? Small words. Remember what was at the front of the book?
That was the found the word.
Okay, so it's a dictionary of every English word. Huh? That's right. So first off, let's see what this says. I'm sure it tells us. Concordance has two sections. Okay? That mine has a lot of sections because it has other stuff in it. The Concordance itself and the Hebrew and Greek dictionaries in the back. So when you look at the front of the Concordance, it has every single word alphabetically. Just like a dictionary on the page, it tells you the first word and the last word on that page. Okay? And so you can look, and as you're going through there, you can find out whatever word you're looking for in the Bible. And he'll tell us in a minute, but I'm going to get ahead of him, is whenever you're looking up things in the Bible, for instance, well, that's a different thing. We'll talk about that later. Sorry, I'm getting way ahead of myself. In the concordance, the Bible words are listed alphabetically in bold and all capital letters. This concordance didn't have them all bold and capital. You didn't notice it, did you? That's right, they aren't, because this is not a Strong's Concordance in itself. It contains the Strong's Concordance. But if you look at Strong's Concordance, all those letters will be just like it says here, alphabetical and bold, all capitalized letters. Okay? At least the ones I've seen and the one he talks about. The words are followed by a list of verses in which the word appears. And how do those show up, Brandy? Can you tell us? That's right. And they'll start from the beginning and go down through the end. Okay? So if you have a word there, it's going to, if it's a word that's also have a Hebrew definition, it'll start there. If it started in Genesis, it'll go all the way down. So there are pages of that same word given in the concordance because it's used so many places in the Bible. But every word that is in the Bible is in that concordance, and you can find it in there. Okay? So that's the dictionary part. Let's go on. The Bible student can see the immediate context of the words as it appears in each verse. Okay, so you can see the context of the word as it appears. In other words, it gives a little sample of the verse. I think, what did it say? Do you remember? I don't remember what it said. Three or four words that it gives of the verse right there with that particular word. Okay, at the end of each line is a number corresponding to the Hebrew or Greek word that is translated by the English word. So if you look at the concordance and you go down, it has, for instance, if you looked at diligence, this is the one we chose, it has probably just about this much, if we're comparing the whole thing, okay, of diligence. And it was all English, if I remember right. And they probably only had about six or seven words translated from that. But if you looked on the side, it had different numbers. They weren't all the same. Some were, some weren't. If it has a number there, and the next verse and the next verse and the next verse are all the same word, it'll just give you quotation marks. Go down. Do you understand what I'm saying? For instance, this said 4710, I think is what it said. And she had to look up two lines, I think, and it said 4710 because when the one her line said, it just had a quote. So she just went right up till she found the verse or the number. Okay. Numbers for Hebrew words are straight, while numbers for Greek words are slanted. So when you see the word in there, if it's a Hebrew word, it'll be straight, standing up. It won't be italicized. And if it's a Greek word, it's italicized. It gives you a quick reference when you're looking through there. Just as, oh, okay, this is italicized. It's a Greek versus a Hebrew word, okay? The Bible student can see how many different Greek or Hebrew words have been translated into a particular English word. Again, it shows you all of those. Okay, three, by looking up the number in the Hebrew or Greek dictionary, the Bible student can find the following information. The English spelling pronunciation. What is that English spelling pronunciation of? Anybody got an idea? Exactly. It's that Greek word that, Brent, what was it? Spoude? Spoude? Spoude is the way you pronounce it. It's written in Greek, and then it's written in English, and then it gives you the how you say it, okay? So you can try to pronounce it. I have a hard time with those words. I'm sorry, but when I spoude, okay, whatever. Some of them are easier than others, but it will help you pronounce that Greek or English or Hebrew word, okay? It gives you the etymology or history of the word, where it came from, Latin, German, whatever, okay, original etymology. A definition of the word. It'll tell you what it means. So right off, you know what that word means in the Greek, but then, let's see if it's on this page. Other translations from Hebrew or Greek word. Okay. And then it gives you the other translations. In other words, it'll tell you how this word is used in the Bible and where it's used. Like this word diligence, it had like six or seven, was it? Different words that were translated from the Greek into the New Testament that you could look up. You saw that. And so one of the things we're going to do eventually is when we start looking at Strong's, that's one of the ways you'll study the Bible. You'll click on a word. You'll see what the Greek word is. You'll click on that Greek Strong's number. It'll pop up in a window, and it'll tell you all the places it's used. Okay? But as you scroll down there, it highlights it in yellow. You'll see that the word is different. It's translated different. It may be speed. It may be study or something like that. So it's real helpful to as you study the Bible. Okay, where am I at? So how to use the Strong's Concordance. Brandy, why don't you come up here and tell us how to use it? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, okay. So it's not hard to use, is it? She's done it once, and I bet she could do it again. You know, just like that. And that's how easy it is to use. Now, again, this book is cumbersome. You got to put it on your desk somewhere, and that's pretty big. But it's not hard to use. And once you get into the computer program, it's real easy to use, and it's really beneficial. But let's just go through it. It says use the concordance to find verses. The first use of concordance is to help the student find verses in the Bible. That's the first use of it, is to find out where the verses are in the Bible. Okay? When searching for a particular verse, it is important to choose. That's what I was going to talk about. It's important to choose a word that is unique as possible. Don't choose the word the. Don't choose the word a. Don't choose the word and. Choose something that is unique. For instance, in 2 Timothy 2:15, study is a pretty unique word. It's only got like seven or eight words in there. So you want to pick a word that's not common, because it'll make it easier, okay, to find verses. Because if you go and choose some of these words, it's like I said, it's this long, and you're going to go down, and you get one that's short, and you can get to it quick. Again, that's just, you'll learn that if you use it. And if you use the Bible program, you don't even care about this, because it'll tell you, it'll pop up. If you choose a common, well, yeah, you do, because it could be more verses. Take that back. Forget it. If you choose a common word, there will be too many verses listed, and it will be difficult to find the one you're looking for. For example, suppose you're trying to find the verse that says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Anybody, what verse would, or what word would you choose, you think? Our words. Delight, that's a good example. You wouldn't choose Lord, would you? It's all over the place. I mean, it's everywhere. you wouldn't choose any of these little words. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You might choose desires, but the other words you probably wouldn't, because there are probably going to be a lot of them. Okay? It says, you can't remember the reference, but you remember some of the words in the verse. That is helpful. Like if you know a word in a verse, then you can go into the concordance, pick out that word, and you can find the verse. That's helpful to do that. Again, if you tried to look up thyself, you would find nearly 200 verses. Okay, so if we chose thyself, delight thyself, there'd be 200 verses that we'd have to look through to find the verse we're looking for. Okay, if you tried to do the heart, he says be 767. That's a lot of verses. These are all Hebrew. Instead, you would look for delight or desires. I already did the notes, so anyway. There are 52 verses in the Bible that contain the word delight, and only 3 that contain desires. So you see the benefit of trying to choose wisely the words you're looking for. So as you're studying and you don't remember the verse, you know some words in that verse, pick out the word that you think most likely would be the less, because it'll be a whole lot easier to find the verse. If you're having to scan through 300 words or 300 verses, it's going to be harder to find that verse. But if you're scanning through 52 or, you know, whatever, it's going to be a whole lot easier. Okay, use the concordance to study the meaning of words, and that's what we've kind of talked about already. Word study is the most basic of all forms of Bible study. You can't possibly understand a passage of Scripture until you first understand the individual words. Makes sense, doesn't it? You can read a Bible verse and think, well, I got this, but if you don't know what the words mean, how do you even know what the verse means? The following important four steps are used to find the fullest possible meaning of a Bible word in Strong's Concordance. First, look up the meaning of the Greek or Hebrew word. Okay. Then second, see how the Greek or Hebrew word is translated elsewhere, talking about all those other verses, different words, you know, the different, for instance, as we looked up diligence, it's translated differently in different verses. Check that out. Third, examine the immediate context. Always be careful first to interpret the word in its own immediate context. We remember that from way back, right? The first place you look is the context of a word or that verse. And then fourth, see how the word is used in other passages. Bible words also interpret themselves within the context of key passages. In other words, if you read, you can read part of a verse and then it tells you what it means after it. So look at that whole verse in that context and it'll help explain those things a little bit better. All right, let's see where we're at. Anybody have any questions? Yes. Every word is in the concordance. Every word is in the concordance. Yeah. Well, I think it gives you the verse, right?
Yes.
Right, right. But it doesn't give you any more than that. It's not going to say A and then give part of the verse. In fact, right here is the starting of it. You can't hardly see this, but this is A. So if you look through here, all the verses that have A in it are right here, okay? And it's probably the next page, next page. I didn't look to see how far it goes. So that's the way they do the common verses, or common words. But every word is in the Strong's Concordance. It's exhaustive, as we heard before. Okay, another, that answer your question? Okay. Jim, do you have your hand up? Oh, your concordance? Okay. Yes, Jeff. Be a lie. That's right. That's right. That's a good point. I didn't think about that, but they'd probably lie and somebody fed them whatever the spiel is. Now, I never looked at the Bible that way, but that's an excellent point. Good. Everybody understand what he just said? Makes good sense, doesn't it? Okay, good. All right, let's see where we're at here. Okay, we're going to stop here. Anybody else have a question? So how many in this room have used concordances before? Raise your hand if you use a concordance. So just about everybody in this room is using a concordance. Okay, good. And so, like I say, once we look at the Bible program, Sword Searcher, you're going to find out how simple it is to use a concordance. In fact, if you haven't been studying your Bible in depth, in that program, it'll make it tons easier. And it's got commentaries, it's got the dictionary, it's got just about everything you need. There are a couple things that would be nice to add to it, and I'm sure they will, because they come out with a new one every year or something, new version. They step it up or whatever. But I used the last version I had probably for 3 years, and I think then I was 7.0, and I think I bumped up to an 8.2, and there's a bunch of points in between those, so you can use it for a long time. So, any other questions before we have a word? Yes. You're asking me a question I know nothing about. I don't know eSword, so I don't know. It could be similar. I don't know. eSword, it would be a common name, though. when you see the word sword, word of God. I know Sword Searcher is copyrighted, and so I guess I'm not sure that it would be. If you saw a copy of it, you would see that, your mom's got one, your dad. But you can look at that. It's got a lot of things on it, a lot of reference materials and things like that. And that's what you're paying for, is all the extra reference materials. I mean, it's got a ton. Okay. And there are a lot of them to do these days. And one of those things is you kind of choose the program you like. You know how I got this program? I didn't use this when I came here. It was, and he doesn't even really recommend this one because he found another one that he likes, but it was Gerald Fielder. In 2005 he came. That's my first time meeting him. And he said, "Hey, Pastor, let me show you something. What kind of Bible program do you use?" I showed him mine. And he said, "Look at this one here." And he gave me a copy, or showed me a copy of it. And I said, "Okay." And I got one or whatever and tried it. And ever since then, I've liked it. And I just keep updating it because I get more stuff. And it's been a good program. But like anything else, it can cost you more money. Initially, it's cheap. Today, if you buy a missionary pack of five, you can get them for $30 a piece. They're $60 regularly if you buy one individual, or two or three or four. But if you buy five, you can get them for $30. But then when you go to update it, you're going to pay $24 or $25 to get an update if you ever want to do that. And again, I don't think they're that necessary to update that often. It just depends on if you want to look into it or not. I do, just because I want to get as much information as I can, because that's kind of like what I do for a living. So anyway, but anybody else? Questions, thoughts? All right. Let's go ahead and stand, and we'll close in a word of prayer. Matt Ryan, I'm going to ask you to close this, please.